Welcome to episode 177 of the Better With Running podcast. My name's Chris Armstrong. I'm a Run to PB coach, and I'm joined by fellow Run to PB coach, Zach and Newman. Look, mate, we're at a massive show tonight, but before any of that, how are you? What's going on?
Mate, it is a massive show. I'm good, Chriso. How are you going? And, mate, feedback from last week's episode. Obviously, Elise smashed it out of the park, but your work on the mic, the dulcet tones that were coming through, a lot of people messaging in saying how pumped they were with your new mic setup, mate.
Mate, I think it's the first time they've been able to actually hear me properly in a year and a half. So that's nice. But it does draw a little bit of attention, because if all of a sudden they can hear me and I'm spouting nothing but rubbish, we might have to turn it off and go back to the old setup that we had. So we'll see how it goes. But I like it.
Looking like Joe Rogan over there. We got the full boom mic and the headset on. It's pretty pro setup. But mate, as you touched on, big show. Got a couple of a couple of people that we've touched on the show. Geez, the good part of probably the last 100 episodes, they've somehow weaved their way into a mention now. Just throughout, randomly through, whether it's been little drive-bys by yourself or some performances on and off the track. And then we have had them on separately for interviews, but we're going to get the two of them on together to basically face the media as they go head to head in a big 5K that's going down in Tassie this weekend.
Zachy, you talk about Joe Rogan. He loves his heavyweight battles. Well, this is an absolute clash of the titans coming up, and it's a real privilege to be able to bring that to the people. I think it could possibly go down as one of the biggest episodes out of the 177 that we've done so far. So looking forward to catching up with the boys.
One of the Earls today from down in Tassie, or he's deep down in Tassie over the weekend, and he had mentioned he'd spoken to a few of the, like, where the hotel he was staying in, and they said they were booked out this week. They said he couldn't get a room down in Hobart for people going down to watch this race. So bit of a boost to the economy. You know how they usually talk about millions of dollars being pumped into the economy when these events happen? Talking into the millions that is bringing into the local Tassie race.
Zachary, if you thought Zatopek was big with Peking Duck, I'll tell you what, get down to Tassie this weekend. Even if just to be in the state, I think you'll be able to get a real sense of the vibe, because this is big. I know Mitchie's had some exclusives and a lot of good content, but straight at it, well, this could be our breakthrough night tonight. We'll see how it goes.
Before we get there, mate, we probably should just do a little bit of an update on our own training. We're not tying the line in a 5K this weekend, but we both managed to pump out a few sessions, and mate, you knocked out 83 Ks.
83, a little bit less than the week before, but very happy with how the week went, considering that it felt like we'd moved to North Queensland somehow. hasn't been super hot. I think any summer where you're told that the temperature is going to hover around 30, 32, you'd just be thinking, this is peak barbecue season. Just every night out there, cooking away, just absolutely loading the barbie up with chicken and sausages and chicken tenders, absolutely $1 million on the barbecue. But it's the humidity. The humidity has been the absolute killer. I haven't experienced anything like you might get the odd humid morning or humid evening. It's just been relentless. So Monday just gone was the absolute worst. It was 95% humidity and 23 degrees when I left home just before 6 a.m. And it was...
It was 5:49. And it was that humid at that time.
It was lightly spitting rain, but I couldn't tell if it was water pouring out of my skin.
Yeah.
Or it was a light bit of rain. It was disgusting. Very grateful to be easy running, but last week, one session, 1600 into 4x400, and then another 1600 to finish off. Doesn't look much on Strava. Nothing really does it. I put up there because, let's be honest, I'm not exactly killing it. But a 1600 was meant to be around 10K effort into a 400 meter jog. Then we're going to launch into our 4x400. And Zachar, I've uncovered a bit of a secret. People, they're looking for silver bullets and ways to improve their times.
Okay, yeah,
I've
you got a
got
hack for us?
mate, I've got a hack. Do your fast running with a filthy tailwind.
Yeah.
That's I swear it works every time.
I like it.
No, I'll and have a standing recovery for these short reps too. You combine a standing recovery with a fairly stiff tailwind, you'll be killing it in no time, regardless of your fitness level. I'm throwing some super shoes too, and your results are guaranteed to improve. No,
Mate,
I
that standing
yeah.
recovery, it's that. So when are we doing the standing recovery there?
So
Off the
we, yeah, so it was after the first 400. So we had a 400 jog after the 1600, then straight into the first 400. But then Andy was gracious enough to give me a minute standing for the
Yeah.
next three. And that made a lot of difference. So, and look, the tailwind, let's not downplay that. First 78, mind you, it's on the road, so it's around the mark. It's not precision like the
Yeah,
track, but first 478, and then we went 73, 72, 73 to finish that. And that's the fastest my little legs have moved in a very long time.
nice. Getting on the 3 minute K pace there.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was going to tear a hamstring, if my shoes were going to
Okay.
fall off, what was going to go
But
on,
you
but
know, your form and your strength must be there if you're going, you know, whether you're doing it for a minute, you know, minute and a half, you know, I mean that's when you're getting down in the low threes, and you're doing that at the back end of a session. But that's really impressive.
I was happy with it. I think I remember laughing to Anna that first 400. So she was doing her session. She was doing a Telford fartlek with floats. And she'd gone past me after that first 400. So I had her to chase down. And I think that part of that was actually like, oh, if I'm going to catch Anna, I've got to make sure that my form's good because I don't want to look like a hot mess as I go past. And yeah, it set me up for the rest of the session. So she's taking credit for it as well. But no, but look, it's nice just to run and be pain free. I think, I mean, realistically, with that breeze and a minute standing recovery, even if I, and let's say if the GPS is friendly, hey, add 4 seconds to those. And if I'm still running 76 or 77 for a 400, I'm really happy with that. So,
But that's the purpose of, like, you know, yeah, you got a bit of a tailwind in there, but the purpose is to run strong and fast at the back of a session and to have that recovery. Sometimes we do get sucked into doing a lot of floats and doing our jog recovery and then just not allowing ourselves to do that real quality work. And particularly with a 5K coming up, where you know when you're getting a five and a three, things just, it's relentless. Like it's from the gun. You don't get the floats. You've got to be on when
No.
the pace gets going. So these sort of sessions where you're like really pushing the boundaries back end of a workout really bring you forward.
Yeah, it's and to help that 5K effort feel a lot easier on the body. So I think it was something that I didn't do very well myself last year. So it's been really good. I'm really happy with how my strength work's going. And as you mentioned just before, it's a big factor in why I've been able to do some of this faster stuff because I don't think my body was strong enough to do that kind of quality work. So, hey, look, it's only 4x400, but what I was probably most like, yep, it was great to feel like I was running quick with a tailwind. But at the end of that, we do another 1600, and the idea is to just match what you did in the first 1600. And I was able to do that without feeling like I was just thrashing away and straining to hit that pace. Like, I was working. And I was tired, but it was controlled. So definitely enjoyed the session. Happy with how it went. Definitely enjoyed my rest day on Friday because the 2 hour long run on Saturday was all easy Ks and it was just sickly humid. Me and Anna both felt it. It was gross.
Were you getting
Just
sunlight as well?
no, because we started at 5:15 a.m. There was no
Yeah.
sun. That was a very tactical ploy that
Yeah.
we thought was a good
Gee,
idea.
that's early, the
It's
sunlight.
it is early, but it's a commitment because we both hate direct sunlight when we run. So, which completely flies in the face of running in the evening or late afternoon, evening for these track races. But if we can avoid it, we will happily get up at God knows whatever time so that we can knock these early runs over.
Is that the usual route you're doing there?
Slightly different. So I don't know if we have time for a stupid story, but I miscalculated the loop. Normally we do a couple of loops of the lake and then we pop back home.
Yeah,
All good.
what's it? Yeah.
Went a little bit further along Broken River Drive. Now, I don't think we've ever done that. Maybe once, but anyway, went down that. Literally 30 seconds after we'd crossed our normal turnover point, car comes past, window comes down, some moron flicks a bottle cap out the window that nearly hits me. I'm like, what the hell are
What?
you doing? And I wanted to fight them. Like, if they had to turn around,
Young
I'd
kid just
literally.
driving around at what, 5 in like 6 in the morning.
Oh, would have been close to, oh, yeah, it would have been close to about 7 o'clock by the time we saw them. But the car was full, windows were down. Like there was a fair bit of weight in the back seat, so look, maybe some beefy boys in the back. But yeah, they flicked the bottle cap, and look, it didn't hit me. It sort of landed maybe a meter away, but the intent was there, Zacha. It's all about the intent. We like to start out a race with intent. Well, these
Yeah.
boys, we're
That
picking
is
a.
bizarre, isn't it?
It's odd. Odd
Yeah.
behavior, but Anna was ready to fight all of them. Literally, if they'd pulled
Yeah,
over, she would have pretty much walked up and knocked
yeah.
all of them out. And I look have no doubt that she would have. So,
Yeah,
anyway, it's needless to say, violence was not the option that we had to choose during our long run. We got through safely, and everyone is safe and well. We look forward to safely going out and doing a session tomorrow morning, hopefully incident free.
what was the drink of choice straight off that long run, mate? You would have been absolutely dripping.
I was. So, drink of choice was I had a lemon Powerade with two scoops of pineapple magnesium from the good
Oh.
people at Pillar Performance. Dropped into that. It was icy cold in the fridge for when I got home. Gave that a good shake and it barely touched the sides. I think it all went
Thoughts on
straight
icy
down. So,
poles? Thoughts on icy poles after a long run or a run?
big fan. We do that at Shep Runners Club all the time. So Tuesday and Thursday nights, we usually have a supply of Zooper Doopers on hand for everyone.
That's fun.
Post session, big favorite amongst the group. So I'm rather partial to a Zooper Dooper, but unfortunately, Nora's not a Zooper Dooper fan, so we don't buy them. So
No.
Powerade, lemon Powerade or orange Gatorade with the magnesium drink or magnesium powder dropped
I
into that.
trialed a an icy pole. I haven't had an icy pole for ages, and I don't know what came over me. I finished the might have been Monday. It was, yeah, that Monday night run was so hot and steam. No, Monday was, it was pissing down rain actually. I think we rained. It might have been, I don't know, maybe it was Friday or something. Yeah, and anyway, I ended up getting a Tolippo post run Tolippo,
Oh,
and
Zacho, 10 out of 10.
yeah, I know Brady. He's beating
Oh.
me. He's you know what he does with his influencing, and he'd done that post that was looked like a unsponsored post, but it was actually a sponsored post. He's boosted Clippo sales around Australia, and yeah, I got on board, and I wouldn't have had one for 15 years. I didn't realize they're about $4 these days, but good
No,
investment.
it's not, not
At that point,
it,
mate, when I was that, I'd got a Powerade, and I was like, this is really good because it just keeps, like, I know I was driving back, so it was just a servo trip, and yeah, just sucking on that as you drive, it was just like a really good cooling mechanism. I don't know if the sports, you know, our Jess Rothwells of the world, and actually run with well, yeah, one of Bryce, who is Bryce Anderson, who is on Sunday, he was out the long run. He's the VIS dietitian now, who's sort of working alongside Jess. I think Jess is going on mat leave, to be honest. But he is, I don't know if he would give the Clippos a tick of the approval. I think they go with like a Hydralyte, or they do like Morton slushies or Precision hydration ones. But I reckon the Clippo. I'd almost be thinking mid run, just get on one and just run with it. I think it'd be a handy choice of late with the heat that we've been copping.
I look, absolutely no hesitation in recommending a Calippo. I think if there was a way to, Morton's, what's the difference between a Morton slushy and a Calippo slushy?
Well, if you're
Just.
doing a hot marathon, maybe just throw out six, forget the gels, just go with six Calippos and just take them on every 5K.
Have on like you see your drink bottles with the pipe cleaners, the stickers, the bits of tape. Why not a little esky with a Calippo?
Yeah. We'll be on to something, mate. But yeah, anyway, I just thought I'd get your take, and you're a Zooper Dooper man.
I think, it opens us up to our new segment, back in my day. Back
Yeah.
in my day, for like instead of paying $4 for a Calippo, you could get two Calippos and a 600 ml Coke for $4.
Oh yeah. What about Sunny Boy? Oh, Sunny Boy was
Oh, so that
probably
would take
like
forever
40 cents
to
back in. Yeah, they take you.
eat.
That's great. That's what you want when you just keep cooling yourself down on the Sunny Boy.
I don't know if I have the patience to eat a Sunny Boy these days. That was just a big rock hard slab of hot colored ice.
Geez, the margins would have been good on that one.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah.
Bit of food coloring
Bit of
and just
food coloring and like you could
don't even know
it,
what the flavors were. They were just sugar and a
oh
bit of color in
mate, I
there.
don't think they had flavors. They were just colors,
Yeah.
orange. Like it was probably like grape, but it was just like, oh, purple. Like,
Yeah. I think they're
yes.
still kicking about. Yeah.
Have to be,
Handy
but
much.
no, I'm the
Something you do for
Calippo,
you.
nice
Yeah.
choice. I every chance it's meant to be warm here again, shock horror on the
Yeah.
weekend. Might have to source the Calippo, shove it in the freezer, and treat myself. You've influenced me.
Good stuff. Well, we'll go
What
again
about,
coming in shortly, mate, but we'll
yeah.
I could touch on my quickly touch on my
Tell me
session.
about your week. Was the Calippo the highlight of your running week? Because I wouldn't have thought so,
It was
given
up
it
there,
you
but
ran.
no, I actually had a good week. I
You
got
did. 80 plus, yeah.
81 Ks in the bank, which I reckon that equaled, I think about 3 4 weeks ago, we talked about that being around the mark of my highest in like 6 months. So I was sort of back there with this one. And the key, I guess the big thing was the long run was, well, yeah, probably taking a step back. The Saturday session was really positive. I think we spoke about, maybe we spoke about Tuesday's workout last week. I think we did. Monofartlek, I think we spoke about that.
Yes, we did.
But I then hit on, so yeah, rest of that week was just a lot of the, I'm like hitting those 50 to 60 minute runs and feeling pretty good across the ground on most of them. Obviously the heat humidity's been there, and some have felt harder than others, but got through them. But yeah, actually, yeah, that was right. So the Friday before I got that clip, I was absolutely gone on the Friday run. Really
You
spent.
think, you reckon that was the missing factor though?
Well, I don't know. I needed it. I needed something after it. And then knowing that I was going into the Saturday workout next morning. So it was like I often do night workout. So it's a shorter turnaround from my running perspective. So I had a 10 minute, 5 minute, 10 minute effort down at the Yarra Boulevard. And I thought I might just try to get myself up after, I woke up and I was like, yeah, I'm still pretty tired from the week. And what can I get myself going? And then I thought I'll break out the Rebellion Pro 2s.
Oh,
Tommy
this.
Hall would kindly sort of sorted me out a little while back when I wasn't really doing much, and now I'm in a position to make use of them. And these ones have dropped officially, so these were like the one of the prototype colors, which is very cool to have. And yeah, chucked them on, and nothing like putting a pair of new racing flats on and doing a few strides, and they can get you really up and about. And yeah, managed to hit that session really well. Like, I know last week we talked about the 6 minute efforts. This was, I guess, Al sort of said, that first 10 minutes, work into it, but you could sort of see off like last week's session that 335s, I was running 325s by, last six. So like it's, look, the 10 minuters, I'd said, well, should it be 340s? Like, no, I think 335s is where you're probably at for 10 minute effort. And it was, and we went out, we got our little bit hot. We were first K was 331, but then we were bang on sort of 335s. I think second was 336, and it felt strong, but not uncomfortable yet. Like I actually still felt like, yeah, okay, if we, and having that, it's an interesting format, I guess, having a 10 minute into a five and then another 10, because the 5 minute was a bit of a let's push it down a little bit and then keep that momentum going for the 10. And yeah, what did we do in the five? Was 323s. So I was right up on Al's wheel and I felt good. I could feel like the form was good. And I think having these shoes, they give you a bit when you really sort of, there's a lot of shoe under them and you just couldn't really find that sweet spot. And yeah, I know the shoe wasn't doing all the work, but I felt like my form, a lot of strength is sort of helping now. And I've felt quite balanced, and compared to probably the Rebellion Pro ones, these just, I don't know, through the midsole, there's a lot more shoe to work with.
Bit more stability in this one.
Yeah, definitely more stability. And I think, I don't know if that's, because we had a couple of turns just to, we're just sort of doing end to end and little hairpins. And I was actually able to get around and get back on the pace quite good. Whereas previously, I'd really sort of backed off and had to work into it. I don't know if that's just me being more mobile as well. But then the last 10 minutes, so it was like 3 minutes after the 10, then the five, and then 2 minutes after that five. So at that point, I was like, yeah, in the back of my head in the 5 minute, knowing I got another 10, it's like, don't absolutely bury yourself. And Al said, look, let's go 330s for the last 10. And actually got out a little bit too aggressive. It was like 325 through the first K. And whilst it felt good, I probably knew I was pushing a little bit, backed it slightly off. It was 329. And then Al sort of said, hey, just, I was starting to probably work a little bit. I don't know if I was like thinking, getting a little bit of white line fever. I was like, I'm feeling good here, I'll keep pushing. And he still said, no, mate, just keep the lid on it. So I finished in 332, and I was probably starting to fade a little bit towards it. And I think the first, that 25 probably knocked me about a little bit more than I expected, than I thought. So, yeah. So, but look, good, like really good to feel like I'm sort of hitting those paces again. And then I guess the best thing for me is recovery wise, it's like warm down, I feel a lot better in the warm down. I'm not as proppy or ginger, and then recover through the day. And by Sunday, yeah, I was tired on the Sunday long run, but we ran 90 minutes again. And yeah, it was a little bit more pepper on it. Had a good crew. We looped in with Melbourne Uni's Australian record holder, Kat Bissett.
Oh,
She
nice.
70 minute run. So she started getting the pace going about 40, 50 minutes in, getting a sniff to get home. And Lyndon Hall was out there. So that always keeps the pace honest. The Kiwi Steve, Amy McCormack. So Amy,
Hey.
yeah, Amy was there with Bryce. And yeah, it was a good run. Yeah. So managed to get 424s, 90 minutes. Look, the last 10 minutes, I was starting to get tired more so, like I think the weather, like I was just sweating a lot at the end. It was just humid. Yeah, we it was just, yeah, as I named Isaac Hopke, as I continue
Oh.
to name drop. And then it was a who's who of, like, as we ran past, there was Georgia Griffiths was in our pack as well. So
Of course.
and as we run by, we are just like this, a cruising at 425, where this absolute heard of MTC runners just fly by running 4.0s, and you've got Sinead on the front, Charlotte, Jack and Brett just hanging on for dear
Oh,
life.
it's the
It's pretty amazing spot on a Sunday.
run of the mill Sunday.
If you just want to do some star spotting, just go out to the Yarra Flats at around 8:30, and you'll see them all plying their trade. And it's kind of cool in a way, because it's like they are just like we see them on the world stage when they go over to these championships, diamond leagues, but then they've still got to go out and do their run at do their Sunday run like all of us. So it's pretty interesting. Yeah, so that was it, mate. Week of 81K, and yeah, back into it again. So got the momentum going, like body's recovering, the routine's back with these two workouts. I know I spoke about that a little while back, and it took me a little longer to get there, but I think you can take really big steps when I can get to now 90 minutes and two workouts. And I've probably only done that for 3 weeks, so I'm looking forward to what 6 and 9, 12 weeks is like when I'm into the 100 and 110 Ks. So we'll see.
Is there any I think the weeks are stacking nicely now, and the body sounds like it's moving well and it's pulling up well. May or may not be Calippo related, but we can suss that out over the next couple of weeks. However, is there are the feet getting a little bit itchy for a race at the moment, or are we still very content to just keep stacking the weeks, keeping that blue line nice and even? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I reckon through Jan I need to keep it even. I've still got a bit of work. Like I've got now I'm back like work while like I had good 2 weeks where I could really concentrate, and back now you throw in work and adding in, well, we really still gotta take a few more steps with the wire strength training, the drills and the off the track stuff. Like I'd like to really nail that January where I've got, everything in sync. But in saying that, I wouldn't mind at least dipping the toes in something in late Jan or Feb. And yeah, definitely, like, I was looking, run for the kids could be a really good one. That's mid-March. And before that, I definitely have to get something in February to before we know it, there'll be I mean, there's Ballarat. There's some potentially go down there and do one of the smaller, like the 10K or something like that. So we'll see. It's but no, enjoying that there's a prospect to race again, which that definitely excites me.
Say, after tonight's chat, mate, there's a couple of 5K track races coming up.
Yeah, I don't know if I would
Something
entertain that at
to
depth.
think about in a couple of weeks, perhaps.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I've got to be. I got to go back to where I was at. Where I had that Achilles, that nagging Achilles still kind of does. I don't want that to come back. Whilst the knees, that took over the part of the that second half of the year. It was really the Achilles that got me, and risk versus reward for me to try and rush back for a summer on of two track races that are left. Yeah, it might be a bridge too far for me, but I definitely want to get a big winter, which means Jan, Feb, March, April need to be injury free and stacking the weeks.
No, I like it.
Yes. Hey mate, I reckon we've got both our guests that are ready to enter the room, so we'll let them in. As promised, we've got the two big dogs in the house. We've managed to get them both on the line. Joining us this week is Matty Morgan and Paul Reason, two Run to PB athletes, two great mates that are battling it out this weekend on the track. A lot of listeners have heard a bit of this hype thing spoken over the last, probably the last month or so. And we thought we'd get them both on for a bit of a chat about the races. Welcome to the show, Paul and Matt.
Thanks,
Chris,
boys. Zaka, how are you?
good.
Good.
We
Very
thought of
excited to chat about this race, but also, look, we've had both of you on separately over the journey. We've had your pretty good insights into your running background, but we've had a number of new listeners come in. So we thought since then, it's a good chance to do a bit of a get to know yourselves about your running. And we've got a few questions to fire at you just to help the listeners learn a bit more about your running. So you're going to kick it off for us, Christo?
Yeah. So this is open to both of you. Love an answer from both. Don't mind who starts. But guys, how did you first meet and what were the first impressions like?
Dating question, isn't it, Chris?
So I'll open this one up because I actually genuinely put a bit of thought into this. That
first time for everything, Morgs.
So the days of me being in the automotive industry, I came across this bloke who is genuinely probably the most overpaid bloke who did the least amount and got away with it for the longest period of time.
It sounds like a council bureaucrat.
Yeah, exactly right.
So, but no, came across each other through automotive and car dealing days, and I was lucky enough to get out while you stayed around.
Yeah, it's pretty much what happened, I think.
Were you competitive?
I was one of the suppliers. Yeah, so
account manager.
I was one of the account managers, and Morgs was in the dealership. And as we're both real strong personalities, it took a while for us to actually warm to each other and actually start talking. But when we did, we found a bit of common ground, and the romance blossomed.
Free running.
Yeah.
So, well, Morgs is trying.
You slide any deals each other's way?
To be fair, I did get helped out a couple of times. So it was through the got a couple of finance deals bought that may or may not have happened before the Royal Commission. But after that, it was.
Is there any time frames I need to be careful of anymore? If there's 7 years on these ones, we might just need to step back a bit.
I've been out for long enough now. I'll be all right.
On to your running. When did you both sign up to run to BB? Start with you, Paul.
July 21, I think it was, Zaka. Reached out to you after Morgs had a bit of success and wanted to jump on the train.
Was that after your Burnie 10 in 2015 where you broke 50 minutes?
It could have been. Was I wearing a pair of Arnett's and corded headphones? very good.
Prepared is really good.
Yeah, yeah. I've actually never seen him this prepared for anything. This is phenomenal.
Maddie may have had the last couple of days off work to actually prepare. So.
Working for the council, Chris. I'm not sure when he started.
Oh, Lordy.
You, Maddie?
When so I reckon I was June or July 2020. I reckon it was coming off post Gold Coast results, maybe. When the marketing got to me and I took the bait and sent the inquiry form through. And I think then obviously we were all fairly locked down and there was a glimmer of hope that we might have got out and thought that Melbourne 2020 might have been on the cards, and we just decided to take it month by month, and 3.5 years later we're still here.
I think your sign up, you'd signed up for the Breaking 3 Hour program, you'd set out of 8 marathons I've only been the last two that I thought I've had a decent crack at. You cooked yourself in 2018 on the Gold Coast, and then 2019 you had a tough one. So since then,
23 in Melbourne.
So you've gone on and cracked the 3 hours, and we've enjoyed the journey, and now we're going up for the 5K this weekend. Chriso, you got another question for us?
I do. So look, both you boys have run a Swagger PB since joining Run to PB, but interested to know from each of you, what's the favourite one and why?
Well, I'll kick it off. Probably Sydney Marathon Festival last year. I did the 10K up there, off some fairly limited training, and as everybody's had a whinge about, it was incredibly hot, and course is not the best, but managed to pull 38, 22, I think it was, with probably the best kit on course as well. So that was a good day, I reckon.
I would agree with that. I did see it. It was not only the kit, but was fortunate enough as well to have the actual modelling of the kit photos its way into my inbox. And probably some of the most unique images I've seen of some run kit in my life. Probably not fit for a family-friendly calendar, but, yeah, I was impressed. Definitely good colour matching. Loved the confidence of how it was worn too, in the motel room too, heading out.
Yeah, I wonder who leaked those ones.
Would hate to give up my sources in the event that I might not get any future content sent to me.
I've got to thank you, Paul, for a lot of content you did up there as well. You managed to tag in Inside Running and got some footage of Moose and tagged Moose in, and unfortunately Moose didn't give you any love back.
Gave me nothing. That's the word.
But appreciate you doing the work after a 10K PB, getting out on the course and doing some camera work for us as well.
Yeah, great. The shout-out from Ed Goddard helped.
Maddie, what about yourself, mate? No, you're a humble man, and I know you don't like to celebrate your achievements that much, but this is your platform.
Obviously the sub three was an achievement, and something I worked towards, which was, obviously a load off my shoulders. But I reckon even last year, the half marathon at Lonnie Half, I think, earlier in the year, say January, I think I'd literally waddled my way to 130 high or something at Cadbury, and walked about three times and didn't know when my next bit of exercise was going to come from. And then sort of down 6 months later, to be able to turn that around, and I suppose that was the shake-up that I needed, and ran 82 and a half at Lonnie. So that was good to know that coming from where I was 6 months prior to that to being able to finish that off and not being under a tree for 15 minutes afterwards was a nice feeling. So definitely the 2:58 would be number one, but even that would go pretty close behind it.
Yeah, so I do recall, like, you've had a bit of a roller coaster, I guess, also with some injuries in 2022 really, and then bounced back and got yourself going. And I know you reached out to Coach Josh Harris, caught up with him for a coffee, and you're like, you've worked really hard to get yourself back rolling through some tough times. So whilst you've had the high of that marathon PB, you've also endured a couple of setbacks, and it's been, from a coaching perspective, it's been bloody good to see the way you've worked back. And yeah, excited that you're toeing the line this year to start 2024. Favorite training sessions. Let's just go into like a favorite workout, maybe based around 10K or half. We've talked a lot about your marathons, but maybe more specifically around your 10K half sort of workouts. I'm gonna kick it off, Paul.
Yeah, sure. I guess one I'd love to hate that you've sent me now a couple of times, Zach, is the Michigan. That is brutal, absolutely brutal, but you could not find a better tester for where you're at. There is absolutely nowhere to hide in that one. It's you think about it all week when you see it in final surge pop up, but then when you actually get it done and actually get your way through it, it's a very nice feeling at the end of it after you've either had a lay down like Morgs under the tree, or you've had a spit on the side of the track, whichever might occur.
Yeah, it gets the butterflies going when you see that one dropping on the program.
Oh, it does. Yes, it does.
Yeah, I actually don't mind bang for buck, like a hills, tempo hills session. So sort of whether it be 60, 90 seconds, six of or eight of, into probably 12 or 15 minute threshold, and then back into some 30 or 60 second hills. Not great at the time, but definitely bang for buck and over reasonably quickly as well.
I'd almost call bullshit on that. I get a screenshot of every time you set that session, Zach, and a few choice words following it. So I reckon he's fluffing it up here.
Not his favourite.
No, definitely not, mate. That is Peach's pet stuff right there.
Yeah. So it's a quality session. That's one of Andy Buchanan's favourite ones too to give. So, mate, I'll just get like, oh, Andy's going to love this too. But no, it's sad that you've lied about that. I'm disappointed.
But not surprising, Chris.
No.
Hey, just remember who got out of the automotive industry. Just straight lines in local government now.
Oh, boys, your training partners. I'm interested in them. So obviously the knockoff run club plays a pretty big part in both your lives, but who are the training partners?
No, Chris, it plays a part in my life because it gives me some content. I've never stepped foot with Hunter's little sister. So,
Matty, there was
very
no
much
need
a Hobart to... thing, Chris. You've touched a nerve here.
There was no need to provide context just yet, thanks, Matty, but that's okay.
You stole his thunder ball. We got that, mate.
I've just been on the front foot the whole time.
That's okay. No, there's plenty more to come. But what does your Sunday run normally look like training partners wise? What's the chat usually like? Is it good banter or is it poor? And who's responsible for that?
Well, I'll go first. I do not really run with anybody at any time, Chris, apart from Thursday nights with the core crew. I am a lone ranger out there 99% of the time. That's how I like it. So you won't find any run buddies with me. Morgs, on the other hand, he needs someone to hold his hand to get out the door in the mornings by the looks of it.
Paul, just on your solo running, you got the you got the earphones in. What are you listening to? You got what kind of music? What podcasts are you listening to? Obviously, better with running on repeat. But when that after that, what do you got going on?
Yeah, just the back catalogue. Inside running. What else? Inside jogging. Then usually either scroll through a Rogan podcast for a long run, or usually a bit of hip hop or something for. Just the casual stuff.
What are we rolling on the hip hop playlist? Last week we had a good chat to Elise, and we're in there for a bit of African music, which was good to learn about. But what hip hop vibes are we feeling on a long run?
What would there be? I think Drake was the number one listened artist of last year. 21 Savage. Quite a few, mate, but usually just throw a playlist on called Get Turned, which is probably something someone of my age probably shouldn't be listening to, but I'm one of the subscribers to that.
Nice. Maddie, tell us about your setup, your training partners. You've got a few that...
Yeah, we've got a group. We've got anywhere between sort of none and 13 probably at any one time. So which has been good. Problem is a few of the boys are actually getting a fair bit fitter now. So I'm getting spat out the back a little bit more and more. So I'm going to have to start playing that I'm 12 years older than you blokes. You should be running faster than me anyway. So, but generally Sunday long run is probably generally solo at the moment, which is fine. But, 4 or 5 days a week, there's always a few blokes getting around.
And do you boys like to get Kurt on the weekend as well?
Probably roll it back 20 years for more than 15 for myself, I reckon. And there's quite a few weekends bent out of shape, I reckon, Chris.
Getting the playlist together on the Sunday long run just for a bit of drinking motivation.
Apart from the occasional gin of a weeknight, I reckon that's about as far as we extend now. Although Morgs pushed the envelope a little bit over Christmas.
I had about 8 days of my alarm not going off at 4:30 in the morning. So I took that as a license probably consume a little bit more wine and gin than I normally would. But all right, we bounce back.
Hey, back on the group long runs there, Matty. Take us through some of the topics on the chat.
Jesus.
Got a few themes that keep coming up. You guys talk about Australian distance running. You're debating the big world's problems, or it's just basically getting into each other.
Yeah, it's pretty quiet sometimes. there's a bit of footy chat. We've got a couple of diehard footy fans who'll go through the off season and on season, and it's all about footy. What's on for the weekend? Whose kids did what? Whose kids didn't do what? But no, it's not real educational stuff.
Jeez, mate, you paint such a good picture of him. Shameful I run alone. What a crew.
a Sunday long run's usually just me. There's not much getting blokes out on a Sunday.
Alrighty, last one before we get into a bit more of a deep dive into this race on the weekend. The current shoes in the rotation, daily and racing shoes, racing or training. What you got at the moment, Matty?
So I've got a pair of Vaporfly 3s for racing. And I'm just rolling around at the moment in, managed to get myself a pair of Superblasts a month or so ago in the latest drop, which have been good. Pair of Cloud Monsters. And I've just about gone through a pair of Nimbus, new Nimbus. So they're probably more treadmill now, so probably only 3 or 4 in rotation.
Paul, you got a couple of shoes, haven't you?
Yeah, 53 at last count.
If that's just 53 through the rotation, that's not counting the other 126 pairs on the shelf.
No, they've actually started to come off the shelf now. I've actually run out of space on the shelf. So I need to start culling a few. So
I'm still getting a pair on the weekend.
Yeah, you are. Yep.
Do you Metal
Speed's coming your way, Morgs?
Would you be someone who, like, you've got, say, 4 pairs of Alpha Fly 2s, the colour's just not right and they're a bit dusty. Are these the sort of shoes that we're going to sort of pop down into the opportunity shop and they slap $5 on and some unsuspecting person's walking out with a pair of Alphas? Or, like, what are you doing with your old shoes? Are they getting thrown in a car as part of a giveaway or...?
I don't know. I'm a bit of a hoarder with the shoes because I actually don't really run them fully into the ground. So I still convince myself there is still some life left in them, and at some stage they will fit a kit that I'm running, and they'll probably match everything that I need to match. But no, the old ones go to Vinnie's or wherever they need to go. But all the super shoes remain, and hopefully one day they'll get used again.
I like that. What are the favourites in the rotation at the moment, mate?
Probably the Rebellion Pros. I've got a couple of the ones, and I just got a pair of the version 2s as well, which is a little bit different. They are probably the race day shoe of choice. Dragonflies for the track. I've got 3 different pairs of those now. They are just absolutely mint.
3 pairs of Dragonflies. I was wondering why you were doing all these track workouts in there, and I'm like, okay, you got 3 pairs of them. Yeah, wow.
Yeah. They are very good. What else for the dailies? Nova Blast, 1080, Cloud Monster, Super Blast. Just got a pair of Takumi Sen 9s. Ventured into Pumas for the first time, which Morgs had a real giggle about. Reckons they match my personality of just a piece of cardboard. pretty much anything.
Basically, you've got a running company Hobart going out of your house.
Virtually, yeah. Yeah. When people come in, they have a fair laugh at it.
Hand on heart, though, Paul, if I'd said, right, one pair, easy day shoes, and that's it. So, you know, this is probably one of our quick questions we ask. But it's for a meal. Like, if you had to have one meal that you had to eat for the rest of your life, what would you choose? If you had to go one easy day pair of shoes now and that's the only thing you could buy for the rest of your life, what are you choosing right now?
Nova Blast.
Nova Blast. Interesting.
Yeah. Haven't got my hands on the fours yet, but apparently a very nice update. So looking forward to getting into those as well.
You mentioned you had the Super Blast as well. What do you like about the Novas over the Supers?
The biggest pain in the ass with the Super Blast is the gaps in the bottom of them and the rocks just getting stuck in them on runs. It's a very small pet peeve, but I try and get on gravel tracks for the longer runs, and by the time you're actually done, the shoes weigh a kilo heavier.
Which could actually come into a benefit on the track.
bit of weight training.
Yeah, potentially.
Maybe they're going to cover them. I know the new Cloud Monster is meant to be covered up because they had the same issue with people putting boulders on their runs. So maybe the new Super Blast ones that when they drop in soon, they'll
yeah,
a bit of a cover on them or something. But
I think Moose said on Shoe Geeks this week that they're changing the bottom of them for that very reason. So I'm not the only one complaining, and feedback has obviously been heard by ASIC's head office. So glad that I can play my part. Influencer status, mate.
Chriso, should we move into a few questions around this weekend's race? So it's the Tassie 5,000 metre championships. It is incorporated into the night of fives down at the Domain Athletics Centre in Hobart. The Knockoff Run Club, are they a partner of this event?
They are, yeah. Yeah, so they ran the 9 to 5 last year, Zaka, and had a really good turnout. And then I think in comparison to what the state 5K championships were able to put on, I think they might have had 5 or 6 people enter. As you know, with sort of athletics, it can be a little bit harder once you get past Little Laughs to sort of get people involved and to keep them moving. But what Knockoffs has been able to do is be able to get a bit more of a community feel to it. So Athletics has reached out and wanted to sort of join forces to get more people onto the track and make it feel a bit more comfortable for them. So I think as of last count, we're up to 91 entrants for the time. And given that last year they had about 35 sign up on the day, should have well over 100 people running up there, which will be pretty impressive for a Tasmanian event.
Yeah, that's huge. Like, you know, to get all these people, and Maddie, you're one of those who's debuting on the track. It's to give people an opportunity in a good environment. And it looks from what I can see from the build up, yeah, they got cool atmosphere they're going to build. And I know you guys probably feel a little neglected when you see some of the races over in Victoria and the massive meets, the big milers and these club meets. So this is a good chance for you guys to dip the toes in one on home soil. Chriso, you've got a couple of pretty high-level questions here to throw at the boys around this race.
Probably some of the most intelligent things that I'm probably going to say in my life, and some real hard-hitting type journalism that's about to come across for the lads here. I just hope they're up to the challenge. And we've actually been fortunate enough to have some other people within the running community who also have a bit of a degree in, I guess, journalism, content and running. And they've also sent through some questions as well, which we'll ask on their behalf. So looking forward to diving into this one. But a couple of easy ones just to kick us off. So Paul, when was the last time you raced and what happened?
Oh, last time I raced, it probably would have been at Sydney, which would have been, not sure now. When was that? October or something?
Haven't had a time trial since then?
Time trial, yes. Raced at the Tasmanian Masters. They put a 3K event on, a 3 and a 5K every Wednesday night, so jumped in one of those.
How did that go?
Good. 11:28, which was a good time.
11:28. rolled a couple of 350s.
Yeah.
Just trying to give Morg some confidence by throwing out fake times. probably the most recent race, Chris.
That's right.
What about Paul? When was the last time you went head to head? When did you race Matty and what happened then?
When did we actually last race more? Because I reckon it would have been last time we actually closed the line. Was it Cadbury half marathon, wasn't it?
Around the bridge, I reckon.
Ah, that's right. After it, yes. Yeah. Well, I just can't remember, mate. I teared you up both times. So it's just becoming a bit of a habit now, really. but that's probably it, mate. Yeah, run the bridge.
That 2 from 2 in your last two outings.
Undefeated last year, Saka. Yep. Just looking to carry that form on in 24.
Also, Paul, notice a lot of your stuff on the track recently has been in the Dragonfly Spikes. You mentioned you're a big fan. How's the body holding up in the fancy footwear?
Good. Good. No niggles, no complaints. All seems to be going pretty well for someone that does minimal stretching, no cool downs, and just runs on hopes and dreams.
No, that's okay. So fair to say going into this weekend at 100% capacity?
Absolutely, yes. Ready to roll. No excuses.
Perfect.
How's track etiquette down that way?
It's improving, Morgs.
Is it? Why is that?
Yeah, just look, it's just sometimes you just got to provide a bit of feedback and feedback's a gift. So,
work in a semi-professional environment, I'd like to think, and I've always been taught that constructive feedback is the best way to go. But how have you been delivering your feedback, Paul?
Not personally, but through other mouthpieces. So I provide the feedback to some certain individuals, and then they pass it on in probably a more professional manner. But I think just educating people on track etiquette's probably just service to the community. Just doing my part.
Matty, question for you from The Guardian Australia. You previously stated you've never stepped on the track. Is this true?
Correct.
You've never actually physically walked on an athletics track?
Correct.
Okay. Because we've had vision, we've had some footage come through, just sources that The Guardian sent to us and contradicts that, but there's rumors floating around that you have actually snuck onto a track and done some workouts and done a bit of work around there. But we'll take that as an honest
hand on heart. The closest I've come to is a grass footy oval behind Aurora Stadium.
What about in primary school and high school when you did when you had high school carnivals? Was it a grass track set up or you didn't do them?
We didn't have a synthetic track back then. We actually ran on what used to be the old Greyhound track. There was a grass in the middle of the Greyhound track. Blue collar. Absolutely blue collar. In industrial estate around the Greyhound track.
Nice. Matty, this one comes to you courtesy of the Mercury, which is a extremely popular newspaper. Daniel Way, your workouts are notoriously early. How do you think you're going to fare in a later time slot for this race?
No excuses. It's the afternoon's not my favourite time slot, but I guess it gives me a little bit of chance to liver up, drive 3 hours again, which won't be an excuse. But I'm happy to do it just to get out and have a run on a track.
Has the time been released yet as to what time you're starting?
No.
Waiting for the fields to be confirmed, Zach.
Okay. Entry's closed tomorrow now.
But kick for 5. But first race at 5.
It'll actually be bedtime by the time.
They go up, but they run right up until race day.
So, Matty, what time do you usually go to bed?
If it's not lights out by 9:30, I'm not a great person to be around the next day.
So 8 laps in, you could be.
Stepping off.
I don't think I've ever seen anyone withdraw from a race due to drowsiness before.
Oh no! Just listen to Morg's talk, Chris Owen, you'll be right.
Couple of no-dos on the way down, maybe.
Well, mate, for a 3-hour drive, I'm surprised that. The budget, I've have been told on pretty good authority that budget surplus at knockoff run clubs fairly, you know, it's healthy. I can't believe they haven't offered to fly you down for this event. I'm disappointed at that.
Chopper down.
Mm.
I'd expect nothing less.
Yeah. They'll regret it after your performance on the weekend, no doubt. Hey, here's a question for you, Paul. And this has come in. It's come in from a few people, so we've just combined it. Some Run to BB fans are arguing that you've become disconnected from your base. How do you plan to, and this is around your kit, how do you plan to re-engage with the supporters who feel a bit alienated by your recent choices of not wearing the Run to BB kit or purchasing a singlet when the opportunity was given to you? How do you respond to that?
I'm trying to think of a time when I actually was connected. I'm not really a man of the people, Zaka. I don't fancy myself as one, but if people look up to me and want to, gain some, a bit of a look at what I'm doing, I'm more than happy to do so. Look, I'd say that I think that's probably a personal attack on the Run to PB that I missed out on, mate. So let's just address that just head on. I did come to you on several occasions and offer to buy one or two at a highly inflated price. And
I think after the pre-sale had closed copped a whack online about not purchasing one.
I just didn't want a discounted price or a pre-sale price. I'm happy to go full clip and support a small business, you know. But if you're actually non-responsive, I can't help you on that.
And as a follow-up to that as well, there's criticism that some of your recent social media posts have fans saying that you lack authenticity, sort of living the high life, Airbnbs, fancy bikes, even courtside tickets at the basketball. Will you be taking any steps to ensure a more genuine and relatable connection with your supporters?
Absolutely not. No, I'm happy with how I'm presenting. And if anything, I'm going to double down on it once I once I perform pretty well on the weekend, I reckon.
Were there the possibility of a shoey, or is there a have you already planned the celebration that will go down on Saturday once you do triumph? Because, I mean, we'll get into this a bit further on, but you have been put in as a short price favourite through Canadian Running Magazine.
Maybe a cheeky little Jakob sort of finger across the line. who's the French guy? Jimmy Greslier? Can't remember his name. The guy that grabbed the sandwich across the finish line at the cross country.
So in the event that, say, let's say there's a field of 15 and you come 10th and Maddie's 11th, there will still be the post-race carry-on as if you've won?
100% there will be. This bloke wouldn't know how to spell humble, let alone engage in it.
We'll let you off the hook for a couple of questions there, and we might have to go back. I think we've got something around the kit to address, Chriso, that's come in. But just on to you, Maddie. Your last session of late, what was a session of late that gave you some confidence?
Oh, dear. What have we penciled in?
Back to 22 more, I reckon.
2022. Just pre-Canberra. No. There was probably one a couple of weeks ago, which I'm just trying to bring up and think. Might have been even just the 3K, even though dodged a bit of traffic and it had a southerly at my back, but a little bit of confidence from there, which was just a 3K time trial ish on the road.
Just on that, Maddie, we did have someone ask about why you set up a time trial with traffic lights included or traffic. A lot of people try to, and this maybe comes back to you being blue collar, but a lot of people try and make a course that is friendly, traffic friendly, that you don't have these sort of issues that come up. Did you consider maybe finding somewhere that you wouldn't run into these issues?
I tried to plan a route where there was no traffic. Well, there was no traffic lights, and normally at about 5:15 in the morning, you're just running against the traffic anyway. But there's, on the odd occasion, there's a car that pulls out of a driveway, you tend to slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
So that was about it.
Stuff. Risto?
Yeah, so just a quick one for both of you, because I think we need to give the listeners just a touch more around your personality types. Pre-race pump-up music. Who's going with what? Like, is there, Paul, like, you, is it going to be like full Drake, that sort of stuff, just regular getting turnt beats through the big head, through the big headphones, you know, leading into the race? Or like, is there a specific pump-up playlist? And for yourself, Maddie, like, is it a bit more easy listening, you know, a bit of Taylor Swift, you know, just something just to relax and chill out? Like, what are our go-tos?
You probably knocked it on the head for me, Chris. It'd be something along those lines, or might be a little bit of a curveball and throw some Luke Coombs or something in there for a bit of a country flair, just maybe spice it up a bit.
Maddie?
Music's not not my strength. I'd probably a I don't know. I'm probably eighties like rock bands or 80s metal or something like that, just to just the last 15 or 20 minutes of the drive into the domain.
Which I expect the roads will be absolutely heaving in anticipation for the race. Is it, you know, will that
police
impact
escort?
Police escort, but just the chance of road rage, like surely, hopefully, you know, I'd hate to see the stress level spiral out of control being around that much traffic, because I believe things are usually fairly quiet in Launceston.
Well, the 3-hour drive, I reckon they've been doing roadworks for the last 14 years. So what used to be a 2-hour 20 drive is a 3-hour drive now, and alternating between 100, 80, and 60 most of the way down. So little chance of road rage, but certainly not much traffic coming out of Launceston, no. Shepherd and Launceston would be on par, I reckon, mate.
Oh, geez, do you reckon Morgs is loading up a 3-hour drive as an excuse? I reckon I've heard him say 3-hour drive more times in his podcast than I've heard it ever said by anyone ever.
3-hour drive for a 20-minute run. That's commitment.
Yeah. Paul, as I mentioned before, Canadian Running Magazine has you priced as a favourite for this duel at $1.65. Do you feel any pressure as a pre-race favourite going in?
$1.65, you need to get on. That's overs. if it's a head-to-head versus Morgan, right, you put your house, your dog, anything on $1.65, that's coming in.
I think the reason no it's a $1.65 is they feel there might be a little bit of complacency creeping into your game at the moment, and they're just leaving the door open there for just the potential that something could go wrong.
It'll need to be a fairly wide entrance for Morgs to get through, but no chance.
Yeah, I know critics sort of argue that you've downplayed the ability of your competitors and Paul in the past. And what do you have to say about that, about people that underestimating the competition, putting yourself out there?
I don't know, Morgs, is your Strava on public or not? People can probably check it out themselves.
Maddie, do you relish the blue collar underdog tag? I mean, Canadian Running Magazine have priced you at $2 out, or $2.05. There's a bit of an outsider in this one. Do you feel a bit disrespected?
That's probably fair. As long as I don't get caught up, I know. I won't get my ambitions and abilities mixed up. But no, $2.05. Are we handicapping, or are we just going head to head?
Well, this is off the head to head battle, because we haven't really named a handicap as yet. I mean, especially factoring in your 3-hour drive, that's probably worth a good 15 seconds as it is. But
all on home turf, he's got the home crowd. He seems to he's got, I think, a knockoff fan base. I don't know if he's really alienated the Run to PB community down there off the back of his explosive.
Doesn't mind getting around in a knockoff singlet.
Probably I am the local legend of the domain as well.
and on Strava as well.
Yeah, 189 laps in the last 90 days, Chris Oates. Come and take that off me.
Maddie, if we were going strictly head to head, if this was at 5 a.m. on the streets of Launceston, would you back yourself in head to head over Paul?
I reckon I'm closer than at 5 a.m. than I am at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
Except, but if he had a 3-hour drive, if he had to drive up at 2 a.m. to start at 5 a.m. on the streets of Launceston, head to head, we take him the chocolates in that one.
I'd even give him 15 seconds just because I'm generous.
couple of final ones before we let you go, because you've been good sports. Back onto your kit for the race, Paul. Rumours circulating about dispute with sponsored contracts. Can you shed any light on what you're actually going to be wearing on the race day? We're talking singlet and shorts. Yeah, speculation about affiliating yourself with Tracksmith, and yeah, maybe that deal hasn't come across the line yet, but can you confirm or deny whether there's a deal gone down?
No, won't give too much away early on, Zaka. Couple of kits that we're just rotating through at the moment, just sort of having a look and seeing what matches, and yeah, I think we'll just leave it till Saturday for the unveiling, and just let the people come and have a look.
To give people, because I don't think it's fair, like people are paying a premium of $0 to listen to this. They've just given up potentially an hour of their life. Even just to give them a slither of a hint, what's the foundation of the kit? Like, are we rolling with a spike and we're going up, like we're basing it around that? Or have we got a particular pair of socks? Or are we literally just finding the most expensive item of clothing that you have, and which would likely be a $350 Tracksmith singlet, and then using that as a platform to launch from on Saturday?
No, there'll definitely be the Dragonflies. Undecided on colour yet, but I think you're running the store running kit. But as for the colour combination, you just have to wait and see.
I haven't purchased Saw purely because I can't afford it.
Morgs definitely wouldn't. He's too tight.
Well, I don't think they'd sell it in Launceston. It's too blue collar. which is understandable. Like, Maddie, I'm on your side here. Like, they're having a sale on up their athletics on it at the moment, and it's still $250, and that's for 50% off. So, that's a bit of a first world problem. But they do make very attractive looking kits. So I, for one, will be tuning in to see what you do choose to go, because I know you're always, whilst I do take the piss out of you almost every week on the podcast, I'm a man who definitely likes to have matching kits. So I think you actually do it. This is the nicest, most complimentary thing I'm going to say. I reckon you do an absolutely smashing job putting your kit together. It's probably more the volume of kit and the options that you have that secretly I'm a bit jealous. So, yeah, can't wait to see what you've put together. I think if you're starting from the Dragonflies, particularly if you've got the white pair or the lemony pair with the pink swoosh, I think you've got the ability there to really put together something very impressive.
Yep. It'll be something to be seen, mate.
All right. I reckon that's about it. But should we let the boys give us a time? Throw out both your times. What are you going to run?
Actually, I want to, Maddie, what's Paul going to run?
I've got him penciled in 1730,
1740. Oh, I haven't listened to it.
You got a rate? Give us a you know, two or three second window. Don't give us 10, 20 seconds.
I'll give you 1738.
Okay.
I'll take that. Morgs, I would say he's in 1815 to 1818 shape.
Mm-hmm. Just about take that.
Yeah.
as long as I don't jump on the heels of someone and look down and roll in 318s for the first 200, because there's no coming back from that.
No, I mean, look,
that makes it a very long 5K, mate.
You've both been generous and really, really good sports, and we've had a bit of fun with this. And I know, like, you know, the times you just threw out, like, it's not really essentially about that. It's about you guys both getting on the track and as good mates, being good enough to take on each other and have a bit of fun talking it up. But I know, 2024, both of you got some big plans, so it's going to be pretty cool to follow that journey, and we'll have to get you back on for obviously a recap, but also some other races you're planning. So thanks again. Is there
just,
any...
Just one last thing. Sorry, it's I actually genuinely, and this is from the bottom of my heart, I do genuinely hope he runs 1730, 1740, 1735-ish, because I've never known a bloke to actually train solidly for 12 months for a community 5K event. He's put his heart and soul into it. He's put his absolute heart and soul into it. And whereas this 40-year-old bloke decided 3 weeks ago that he'd step foot on a track. So I'm going with no expectations, whereas there's been blood, sweat, tears, and a couple of little niggles along the way. So I do genuinely, from the bottom of my heart, I do wish you all the best if you don't talk to me on Saturday when you've got your posse around you. But otherwise we'll catch up on Sunday.
Yeah, I'll wait for you at the finish line, I reckon.
So I reckon, and I'm excited to see how Matty goes. I mean, here's a man. He has his early starts. He's got a big drive ahead of him down into Hobart.
First time on the track. Never seen a track before, apparently.
Never sighted one except for in photos. And at 40 years of age, he's going to make his debut on a set of super shoes on a big night, arguably the biggest night in Tasmanian athletics for the year. Mm. And to be brave enough just to step out there and do that, I mean, you haven't run on a track. That surface is pretty bouncy. Super shoes... Matty, you might be underselling yourself here. There could be a sub-18 on the cards for you. This, I can sort of see, I can see Paul getting out a bit hard and Matty being a bit conservative, just in true blue-collar nature, just hanging back. And then gradually I can see the field coming together. And if Paul does go out a bit hard, there could be a chance of a blow-up with potentially a passing, with Matty going past with 600 to go. So, but if Paul paces well... And he gets a, you know, I think when a bit of adrenaline kicks in and you get the goosebumps, not the heat stroke goosebumps, we don't want those, but the adrenaline goosebumps, you know, Paul's talking about, hey, 1730, 1740. We could be looking at low 17s here. You know, a man who loves the feel of the crowd behind him and the atmosphere, we could see something special if it all clicks, especially in the spikes and probably some of the finest kit that that money can buy. So literally anything could happen.
I need to give Chris the car salesman job there.
Yeah. Do you want to come down and commentate, Chris?
Well, I heard Mitchie's got that gig all sewn up. He's being flown over specially just for your race. He's not getting a gig for any of the other ones, but he'll be there with bells on. But if there is a live stream, I'll be watching it. If there's no live stream, I'll be refreshing Strava until I see something pop up.
Because about 11 o'clock.
Well, that's okay because I actually don't have a life, so that's fine.
Yeah.
But rest assured, we will be covering it, won't we, Zachary?
We'll be
throwing everything. Updates,
maybe get some tags from Paul, and even if you want to live stream the drive back, Matty, 3 hours on the...
Just a few, like some of your thoughts, you know, different stages through the race, even on the way there, just a few glimpses into your insights. You know, if you possibly, you know, embracing that rocky lifestyle, a couple of raw eggs on the way down, you know,
probably there's probably a couple of pigs I could chase around the paddock on the way
bit
down.
Of a training montage. It'd be great to see a training montage, carrying some logs, traipsing through the snow, you know, those sorts of things. Yeah, I think just to really help engage the community a bit more, I think, you know, people that have only just become aware that this 5K race is a thing. Hopefully in the next 24, 48 hours, we can really pump this thing up and get a groundswell of support, because I'm expecting triple figure kudos for both of you on Strava. I hope Strava knows that this is happening, because they're going to have to back the serves up. I mean, God help anyone trying to upload an event for themselves between now and then. It could break the internet.
Can we just address the track issue with that Morgs has got though? I did a bit of research this afternoon with Northern Athletics. It's $135 to get a key fob to go into this track. And your man sitting here on the podcast is too tight to fork out $135 to actually go and get some training done on a proper track. He talks about it like he's trying to cross the border from Mexico to America. So just pay them money and actually just jump on the track. I'm actually sick of hearing it.
There's
GoFundMe set up. Let me know.
One of the shots fired in the community was that it's okay to be blue collar, but it's also okay to work smarter, not harder.
I reckon the only reason that Morgs listens to the 1980s is because Spotify, he has to pay for his premium, and that's all they give him up to. They actually can't get any new music. Free version.
All right. We're going to leave it there because things are getting getting heart rate a bit too high.
It's
9 o'clock.
I was going to say, it's just gone 9 o'clock, and you know what happens after 9 o'clock, Zachary.
All right, boys.
In all seriousness, good luck, boys. Thanks for your time.
And, thanks, guys.
No doubt people will be following along this weekend for the result.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Guys. See ya. Bye.
Thanks, boys.
Bye.
Well, Chriso, that one delivered. I know we've talked about, look, and just probably on a more serious note, and we've had a lot of fun with that and probably been a bit self-indulgent in bringing both of them on and really wanting to really, I guess, be playful with it. But from a serious standpoint, like, we really appreciate what these guys sort of offer in the running community, in the Run to BB community. Like, they're share their stuff on Strava. They've been good enough to come on the show a couple of times and now on this. But whilst this weekend, they both train, you know the times they run in the morning. They're both blue collar. They both get out the door and they work bloody hard at their running. And they do want to achieve their best on the weekend. And they're both coming from different places. Maddie's, you know, three, 4 weeks ago, said, yeah, I'll come down, and purely wants to just go around and try the track out. He knew Paul was aiming for this race, getting the same race as Paul. So whilst we've had a bit of a joke about these guys going head-to-head, I think genuinely they both want the best out of each other. And, yeah, I think, and you framed it well before, Christo, about that chat felt like, you know, two really good mates and I guess all four of us chatting like we're out in the long run or at the pub.
Oh, and that's it. I think over the last 6-7 months, we've made a concerted effort to really share more stories of our athletes from within our community, because everyone's got a different story. And these two guys are really good mates. They signed up to Run to PB years ago, motivated by one another. And to see the improvement and how they've stuck at it, it's nice to share a bit of a glimpse of that. And now's another adventure. I mean, arguably Maddie's first time on a track, but to sort of hear that and hear some of the banter, and we do like to be able to share everyone's story. And, you know, these guys have got a unique twist on it as well. And it felt like it was a group of guys down at the pub having a chat. So, yeah, perhaps it was a little bit loose there. Yeah, that's what happens at the pub when you have a couple of drinks. It does tend to get a little bit loose. But I tell you what, I think the follow-up will be just as good and enjoyable. If anyone that does follow the boys on Strava, or if you follow them on Instagram, there could be some stories flying around and a few good insights. So, all right, both boys work bloody hard with their running too. And whilst I know they will be very excited to compete against one another, they'll be both pretty proud of each other as well for if they both achieve, you know, the results that they're capable of. And who knows? I think we threw out, I sort of hyped it up a little bit earlier, but throw it in a race atmosphere and everything clicks. I think the boys will surprise themselves with how well they could potentially do, especially if, like, it sounds like it's going to be pretty decent weather as well. So, yeah, I think if there's a live stream, it'd be well worth watching. But I just hope they both have a great run and looking forward to hearing how it all goes from them afterwards.
100%. From a coach's perspective, like, it is just, it's cool that they're in a position to go and race because they've both had some injury issues. They've both had some struggles. They both work bloody hard, but, you know, this is what it's about. A lot of people love training, but it's awesome to go and test yourself and test yourself with a good mate. And the result will be, and from that, they'll go forward and both of them will be no doubt motivated off it, want to do it again, want to try and push the limits and, so it is. It's really cool, and I'm glad we did share that story. And keep your eyes peeled over the weekend for that result. And mate, moving over to just some quick by a Canadian news that came across our desk, mate. Over in China, there was a bomb that Canadian news covered. It was the Xiamen marathon that there was a move, and this is the headline, this marathon's move had us all fooled. So they had a Kenyan pacemaker, and it goes on to say that it was quite a bizarre race over in China, and so they had organized a Kenyan pacemaker, and he's taken off at the start, taken on the pace, cruising along, realizes that he's about 100 meters up on the field. They are not following him. But 30K, so I think this is in the 20K or so, he's realized he's still going. And then he's realized that he's just, what do I do here? And as a pacemaker, his job is to get them to a certain point, probably get paid to that point. He's stopped and stood by the side of the road and just waited for them to come by, let them go by, cheered them on, and then gone on the back of the race pack and jumped back in. The footage is quite bizarre. And, I mean, the article sort of says the only logical reason is that, he just didn't want to keep going at this pace. He wanted to make sure that he was doing his job properly. So quite a bizarre way to do a pacing job. But something else happened in that race that was quite bizarre as well, Rizzo.
Mate, I don't even know. Actually, I want to cover up on the pacemakers first, because you think that this stuff shouldn't happen at a high-level marathon, because I see this happen every month at our local park run, where we have pacing day, which I think is a lovely initiative where, you know, people get in there, they volunteer, do the pacemaking for the various pace groups, which is, people absolutely love it. But occasionally you see a bit of a rogue pace group going, and they'll be running their own time, and about 100 metres out from the finish line, they'll just stop, and I look down at their watch, and I'll then proceed to walk very slowly to the finish line and then wait at the finish line until they get closer to the time that they're meant to run, and then they cross the finish line to make it look like they've actually done a proper job pacing. You look at the splits and they'll have run. So say if they're going to run a 25, which is 5-minute Ks, they'll go 4:10, 4:20, 4:10, 4:20, 6:45. Just to knock it over. And well, it's not quite the same, but like, I don't mind that at parkrun. Like, hey, yeah, I get it, it's volunteered and it's all good, but this bloke's on some good coin, and he didn't have the awareness to realize like, where the hell is everyone?
Yeah, it's quite bizarre, really. Saying the guy, actually, Ben Mutiso, he's a young Kenyan marathon. It's actually his only race on his resume is an 8th place finish in Germany in 2:19. So he might have just not really known what he was doing out there. And the fact that he's just gone by and, cheered him on and then jumped back on was pretty cool. But then
he was feeling good, you know.
What about the other bizarre thing that happened in that race, Chris, so involving our man, the Candyman?
Gibby Candy. People are like, Kibby Candy, where do I know that name from? Kibby, well, he recently ran a PB at Valencia, just around a cheeky sub 205, 204.48. Took down Cheptegei, you know, one of the many people who beat Cheptegei that day at Valencia. Didn't have a great run, but Candy is there collecting his pace of money. And I swear that this man ran in full night kit at Valencia, but I know for some reason, I don't know whether he lost his kit on the way over or what's happened, but reportedly had problems with one of his shoes, got to 20K and went, nah. So he stopped at 20K and took a few photos with the other runners, shaking hands, just like, I'm just out for a training. Literally.
Out for a Sunday run, yeah.
This is no
I'm a t-shirt.
no different to what you experienced on Sunday, mate. Basically, with all the like Lyndon Hall and Katrina Bissett, MTC, all these guys, as if you'd pulled up mid long run, stopped to have a chat to Stewie, and just got a handshake and a photo.
Yeah, very funny. Yeah.
And he looks
we'll at that link in the show notes.
He looks $1 million in the photo too. Like, this man has not struggled to 20K. Like, he's got a t-shirt on, his bib looks like it might be missing a pin or two. Like, he's literally just phoned this at one end. I think he's flown to China to see what all the fuss is about and gone.
It was big money at this one. Apparently the big money they throw on the line to get these big names, because they even had they had initially tweeted an image of Ruti Aga, who was a 2019 women's Tokyo Marathon champion, on the start list, but chucked her on the start list and she didn't write, she didn't even start the race, nor was she even in China. But then she that day popped up, and Strava popped up, and she'd won the Dubai, or come back to the Dubai Marathon. So I don't know what's going on in this this event, but
mate, you got to get that gold label somewhere.
Yeah, no, it was still a quality field. It was one in 2:06, and in the men's 2:22 for the women. So field had three sub 2:05. So yeah, some quality racing, but also some bizarre things going on in that race over in China.
And still no report of Uncle Chen. Which
I'm at this race, no.
No. Like, I know Canadian Running Magazine follows Chinese marathon running very closely. Still yet to hear from Uncle Chen. Just looking at some of the file photos there that we've been given, the air quality looks fairly clean. So I'm not sure that he actually made the start line of this particular race.
Yeah, might be in a heavy block of... I don't know what a heavy block of training is, just loads of buttons.
Mate, they're certainly stretching the lung capacity to its limits, rest assured.
Yeah, on the high strength stuff. Good stuff, Chriso. Let's round it out there. It's been a big show, been a lot of fun, a bit of banter in there, but also I know next week we'll probably pull it back to a bit more of a serious side as we've got
Elise.
Yeah, Elise is back, part three, Road to Osaka. She's going to cover off. She was in action over the weekend down at the Landy Field in a 5K, around about 18:20-ish, I'm going to say.
Oh, mate, not just that. I also saw a 5 by 10 minute tempo pop up on Strava today.
Yeah, and even back to the 5, I know I had a few messages back and forth, and she was a little bit like, you know, I got isolated. And I said, look, given those conditions, heat, bloody humid, marathon block, that's really good signs of where she's at. And looking forward to hearing her unpack that. And then that session that's just popped up, it's then there'll be another, no doubt, this weekend will be pretty big, and we'll be able to hear all about that.
And also, for those of people that tuned in last week, and I know they want this addressed, favorite Tom Cruise movies.
Oh, she's going to reveal them.
Hopefully. I'm going to ask anyway.
Yeah. We'll remind her, because she was, Elise was going to get back to us on that. Might maybe a review coming.
Watch this space.
What's his face? Looking forward to it, mate. Have a good week. We'll be back next week for more chat.
Sounds good. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, buddy.